Hey, we got a new episode.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know and this regret I got accustomed to. Once you walked the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we get snatched. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility. You don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day, but I'm grown. And in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own. I don't understand, why do I stress the man when there's so many bigger things at hand? We could have never had it all. We had to hit a wall. So this is inevitable withdrawal. Even if I stop wanting you, that perspective pushes through. I'll be some next man's other woman. So I can't play myself again. I should just be my own best friend. I fuck myself in the head with stupid man. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day.
Hey guys, sorry, I had to run away for a second, but I'm back. Back in black, like my friend Amy Winehouse. You know, people talk about they have their person where they're like, oh, this is my free have sex with in my relationship person. Well, one of the good things about dating me is I think mine would be Amy Winehouse, and she's dead. So, pretty safe. Really safe, actually. So, as promised last time, I was at a thrift store the other week, and I picked up a great game called Gender Bender, the game of role reversal for men and women. So here's what it is. It's a game. Here, can I tell you something about fucking games? Games feel like they have to have these sort of, like, this is what I don't like about a game. Take a Mousetrap, right? What was cool about Mousetrap? The fucking Mousetrap. Did anyone play the goddamn game where you go around the board and shit? I sure as fuck didn't. I don't know anyone who did. I remember trying once, there's some complicated bullshit where you have to get puzzle pieces or cheese wedges or some shit. That's all I know. What I know is, hey, I want to see a guy dive off a thing into a bucket. That's amazing. A marble going down some crooked, crazy stairs. That's fun. You know what I'm not interested in? Rolling a die and moving around a thing. That's dumb. That shit is dumb. So this is like the same, or Trivial Pursuit, I think, is a great example and probably close to this game, where what you have is a game board and a pie wedge thing. Really, it's not necessary. It's just the questions, right? You're just answering the questions. That's the point of that game. And they just throw a board in there because they're like, yeah, fuck it. How else will you know when you're done with Trivial Pursuit? I want to know what percent of games of Trivial Pursuit end from people actually completing the game, and what percent end from people saying, well, fuck this game. I'm done. So Gender Bender is the same, and it has cards in it that basically, from my understanding, there's a pink box and a blue box. And one of these boxes has questions that are for women and one for men. Now, when I say questions for women, the way it works is this. It would be a question, and you were supposed to answer it pretending you were a man. So, like, if I was playing this game for real, I would answer the questions that were for men, but I was supposed to answer them as a woman. So, for example, I think the one on the box even, and I was like, well, this is culturally relevant, said something like, okay, you just got catcalled on the street. How would you feel? Now, I'm a man, but I'm supposed to answer how I would feel as a woman. How the fuck you win this game, I do not know. You just give the best answers or something? Here's the other thing I'm confused about. There's a pink box and a blue box. I don't know if the blue box means these are the men questions that women are supposed to answer, or these are the women questions that men are supposed to answer? Who is it for? I'm going to look at the directions. Here's what's really funny about this game, too. I've since seen it at one to two other thrift stores. So this is not the only thrift store that has this game. Well, there's a whole huge booklet of scorecards. Oh, here we go. And on the back, rules of play. This booklet assumes that you would play this game about 800 times. Object of the game. The nature of Gender Bender is to reverse roles and test your ability to think like a member of the opposite sex. Gender Bender is not designed to create competition between the sexes. There is always a male and female winner. Two men and two women are required minimum, although there is no limit to the number of players. The game does not... Okay. The game does not require a formal table and chair setting. Well, that's nice. So I could do this like a poolside, at the casino, on a bus, on a plane, anywhere men and women sit and want to pretend to be each other without getting a surgery. So you need one box of suppose you are a woman cards, one box of suppose you are a man cards, 12 triangular response picks, two pencils, red and blue, and one score pad. All of this is in here, plus I have some meditation cards, I think, and a tent stake that's just fucking in here. So, you know, usually you worry when you get one of these from the thrift store that there's not enough. These people were like, fuck it, let's throw a meditation book and a tent stake in there. Okay, players arrange themselves comfortably about the room. You don't have to sit, you know, on a bike, a bicycle seat. You don't have to be on a treadmill. Each player receives a triangular response pick. One player is chosen to be the scorekeeper and enters the names of the players on the scorecard, beginning with the player to his or her left. Play begins with the person to the scorekeeper's left. If this player is male, he will participate with all the women in the game while the other men observe. His turn begins with another player reading a suppose you are a woman card to him. The situation and response options A, B, and C are read aloud as many times as necessary. The man and each of the women considers the situation and the three response options silently. The man, who is supposing he is a woman, privately selects a response that he feels will match the choice made by the majority of the women. Each woman in the game also privately selects which options she personally agrees with. When all have made their selections, they flash their response picks simultaneously with A, B, or C displayed. For his turn, the man will score 1 point for each of the women's selections, which matches his own. Okay, so here's an example. There are five men and five women in the game. Anna, the current player, is supposing she is a man. She considers the situation and her choice of options silently. Each of the five men in the game does the same. While the four other women observe, when the choices are made, Anna and the men flash their picks at the same time. She finds that she has chosen the same option as all three of the men. Therefore, she scores 3 points. Simple enough. I don't understand these response picks. They're actually still in the plastic, if you can fucking believe it. I don't know what you do with these. Oh, I see. They have A, B, and C. So you would, like, flash up which one you picked. Okay. I got it. I still don't know which one suppose you're a man and suppose you're a woman. But I think I'm just going to pick the pink box. Here's the thing, too, by the way. As for me, I mean, I think I could play whether it's suppose you're a man or suppose you're a woman. I don't think there's a limit. Because, I don't think I'm much of a man. I think I'm just a guy. I don't know if I'd call myself a man. So here we go, guys. Gender Bender, the game. The game of learning how to be a gender. Okay, so these are suppose you're a woman cards. Suppose you are a woman. You catch the love of your life with another woman. What do you do? A, leave quietly. B, cry. Or C, throw things. This is copyright 1988. Well, I don't think I... Well, maybe I'd leave quietly. Just sneak out and never come back. That's possible. Cry? I mean, is that my first thing I do? Start crying? I don't think so. I don't necessarily cry when surprised. You know what I mean? Out of shock. Where I'm like, oh, I just started crying. Well, that's a lot. Tell you something weird. So I've been reading these manifestos for a column that I'm hoping to write. And so I started with the Isla Vista shooter. Well, I was going to start with the Unabomber. I don't know if you've ever read his manifesto, but it's pretty fucking nuts. It's very hard to read. It reminds me of our friend, who's the guy? Warren Moon. There's this guy who was running for city council, and his speeches are crazy. It'll be like, "And then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not take his name in vain, but we honor it thoroughly." And it just doesn't even make sense. And then he'll just say something. What's my favorite? He goes, "We will clean our streets of these individual pieces of trash commonly referred to as litter." You know, he's just real crazy. So anyway, that's kind of what the Unabomber's manifesto. As you read it, you're like, yeah, well, this guy's crazy. There's a reason he lived in a shack in the woods, and it's because if he lived in normal society, we would have been like, this guy's fucked up. As soon as a bomb went somewhere. I mean, do you guys have people in... I remember in school. Okay, I was in school. I was like in junior high, I think, when this whole Columbine went down. And you would kind of think about it. I mean... I didn't really chat about it with people because it seems like a mean thing to talk about, but I would definitely think about, like, who's the most likely person to do that at our school? Like, to shoot up the school? And then you start thinking, I wonder if there are people who think I'm the most likely person to shoot up our school, which I was not. I would say I was a healthy teenager and that I was far more likely to shoot myself than anyone at my school. Which is a normal, healthy teen in America, I think. So if I caught the love of my life, this man with another woman, I don't think I'd throw things. Here's my feeling on that, like, cheating, how I feel about cheating. You know, your spouse, the person you're with, is doing the cheating. The other person, for all I know, my spouse hasn't said anything. Or, you know, for all I know, my spouse has indicated, like, oh, it's over. You know what I mean? So how is the other person supposed to know? I mean, perhaps in the moment you'd get upset, but ultimately, I think I would just leave. I think I would just leave. I don't know, maybe catch the love of my life with another woman. Yeah, if we didn't live together, I would definitely leave. If we did live together, I think I'd probably make them leave. Right? Be like, get the fuck out. Because if they are in the middle of, like, fucking, I don't think I want to just be like, well, I'll let them finish, politely. I think I'd be like, no coming. You need to leave and, you know, be upset. And also, I guess there is a part of me that, though I don't necessarily blame the person my spouse is cheating with, I don't want to make it easy on them, because if my spouse is cheating and lying, for all I know, they wouldn't even tell the person. They'd just be like, okay. So it would be good to catch them in the act and just be like, no, this is wrong. And then you give that person who your spouse is cheating with the option to be like, oh, what the fuck? This is fucked up. Or to say, I don't care. Okay, suppose you're a woman. Which would you least like to be? A, married to a man you don't love. B, the mistress of a married man, or C, married to a man you love but don't respect. Ooh. Okay, married to a man you don't love, the mistress of a married man, or married to a man you love but don't respect. That's a tough one. I mean, being married to someone I didn't love would be difficult, right? Because all you would be thinking about is, like, what about this, what about that? Maybe I would love this person. Maybe we should dump each other. I don't know. That doesn't seem like it would go well. A life of just slow regret. You know, I don't know. Married to a man I love but don't respect. For me, those things are, like, not separable. I don't think I could really love someone I don't respect, could I? Is that a bad thing to say? You know, I love but don't respect. I mean, I guess that's how I feel about Wendy's food. I love it, but I wouldn't say I respect it as cuisine, right? It's not like something that I say, I have the utmost respect for this company and their ways. It's more like, this is a food that will power my shitty body through another shitty day. But I wouldn't say, well, I guess I love it. Yeah, and don't respect it. So the question is, would I rather eat Wendy's every day or steal off another man's plate? As a woman, the mistress of a man. I don't know. I think that it seems like to me, because being married to someone I don't love isn't an option. Unless it was just super pragmatic. If we didn't have kids, and it was, like, let's say it's a man I don't love and I'm just his beard, I think I'd be fine with that. You know, he's a rich guy. We just kind of live together, but we're in this big house and don't really hang. We're like roommates. I'd be fine with that. I think I could make that work. Okay, I'm taking A. I'm taking A, assuming I can sort of set these made-up boundaries. Because here's the problem with being the mistress of a married man. I think I, once I knew that that's what I was doing, you know, I guess it's not the goal of every mistress to have the man leave his wife. But for me, I'd get to a point of like, hey, is this happening or not? Because I feel like you're not being very respectful of, like, you don't respect me enough to be with me. Man. Suppose you were a woman. Which would be the most romantic? Walking in the woods, cuddling in front of the fire, or dancing to your song? I mean, cuddling in front of the fire is pretty romantic. A nice fire, a nice wood fire. A big discussion over whether or not a gas fire is fake or real, because some people said, you know, oh, this fire's fake. It's like, well, the flames are real, but yes, it's a fake fireplace. I feel like we've come to expect a gas fireplace, so it's not fake. But it is fake. I mean, it's not real. But that seems romancy to me. I don't know, walking in the woods. Walking with someone is always kind of awkward. I mean, it's fun, but it's hard for me to walk with someone and hold hands, because then you sort of have to match your gait or have sort of sub-rhythms with each other so that you walk and it's not just weird and you're yanking each other around and shit. And dancing to our song. I've never... Well, in middle school, I had an our song with a girl when we met at the roller rink, but I wasn't aware it was our song. She was like, this is our song. And I said, it is. And she's like, yeah, it's the one that was playing the first time we ever roller skated together. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's our song. It was a Mariah Carey song. And that's the entirety of that. You know, oh, we have a Mariah Carey song. To have an R song seems silly, right? That's like a silly thing to have as a grown-up. This is our song. Yeah, you and everybody else, buddy. So, there you go. Easy one. Suppose you were a woman. At a party, well, I guess I was supposing I was me on that last one. At a party, a very beautiful woman comes on to your boyfriend. What do you do? A, let him deal with it. B, drag him away. C, show your claws. Oh, I would definitely let him deal with it. I don't know. This is like probably less, to me, I feel like it might be less of a man-woman thing, more of an age question. As an adult, it feels so cynical, but goddamn, I'm just like, hey, I don't know. If my girlfriend is at a party and some person just charms her big time, I just feel like, well, all right, she wants to be with that guy, I guess, not me. You know, he charmed her. That's it. That's that. That's how this works, right? You're with a person and someone else. I certainly wouldn't drag him away. Come on, we're leaving, you know. Nobody likes that. And show your claws. See, this is another question, too, that is difficult for me because I've never been in that kind of relationship, because I wouldn't bother. Like, if it was somebody who was like, oh, I'm always dragging my boyfriend away while he's talking to other girls, I'd be like, maybe you shouldn't be with him anymore. Yeah. Ooh, okay. Suppose you were a woman. Your best protection against pickup artists is A, ugly clothing, B, a sharp tongue, or C, a black belt. Well, it's obviously not going to be a black belt. I'm not I don't think that turning into a woman, I'd be like, well, now I'm going to study martial arts. Just one time in real life, I want to see somebody, some guy kick someone's ass with karate, or woman, or whoever. I feel like everyone I knew when I was a child was in karate, myself included, of some kind. Not once have I seen a flying karate kick take somebody down. Like, what goes on in these street fights? I don't know. I've never been that where it's like, let's take it outside, and then I'm standing out there thinking like, okay, I remember my best karate moves. I'm going to turn my back to him and then stick my arm straight out, you know, elbow out 90 degrees, fist pointing to the floor. And then when he runs at me, I'm going to twist my bicep sort of so my fist goes flying up and hits him in the face. That's the only move I know. I don't think I'm going to wear ugly clothing just to deter pickup artists. Although, actually, I have done this in my real life. Sometimes, like if I'm going on a trip, going to the city, the big city, I will wear shittier clothes on purpose. Because I feel like if you're wearing shittier clothes, you're just like blending in. You know, it's not a special day for you in the city. You're not touristing. You're like, you look like a guy who just lives there, and you're like, this is the crappy coat that I wear every day, and I'm not happy about it. So there you go. Or a sharp tongue. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would just want to match wits with somebody who's like, hey, baby, what do you say? Oh, hi, you're an asshole. There you go. Suppose you were a woman. You didn't know the movie would be so gross, but your date doesn't want to leave. What do you do? A, put up with it. B, leave on your own. C, dump a drink on him. This happened one time. Little motion picture called Freddy Got Fingered. This was Tom Green's sort of solo project debut. Now, I enjoyed Tom Green's show. He did some gross shit. He did some weird shit. But overall, so, you know, the movie kind of starts, and I remember he was sort of like humping a dead road-killed moose or something. And I was there with some ladies and some gents, one of the gents being this German foreign exchange student. So like 10 minutes into the movie, somebody in the group got up and left. And then a little later, someone else got up and left. And then there was a part where he's in a delivery room for some reason, and he's got a baby by an umbilical cord, and he's swinging it around over the top of his head. And pretty much everyone else left except me and the two German kids who were there. And the one German kid is laughing his ass off. So then I go out to see, like, what the fuck's going on? Because I thought, I don't know, I didn't even think that that was the problem. I sort of figured, okay, someone got a call or something. Something's going on. I go out there, and everyone's kind of pissed off because they're like, that movie is gross. I'm not staying for that, you know? And then there was that thing, too, where, and this is probably doing some stereotyping, but I felt like, you know, the other guys I was with were just like going along with these ladies to be like, yeah, it is gross. Because I was like, fuck you. I've heard you say way grosser shit than swing a baby by its umbilical cord. But maybe you're a visual person. I don't know. So then it was, for some reason, it was up to me to then go back in and explain to these German kids that we have to leave. And I didn't even particularly want to leave. I mean, I wasn't like loving the movie, but also I wasn't offended enough to leave. And you know, this is like in high school, so I had like $4 a week to spend. This was like my activity for the month, so I was kind of in. So I go back in, and the one German kid like really didn't want to leave. He's like, but this is awesome, why are we leaving? And the rest of the night he was just complaining about how we had to leave. I think I would leave on my own. I've done that before, and I think I would probably, if it really was, if I was like, this is disgusting, I would just leave. I don't think I'd dump a drink on the dude. It's not his fault. We don't necessarily know that it's his fault. And also, just because something grosses me out doesn't mean it grosses them out, right? Suppose you were a woman. You saw your married sister going into a motel with a strange man. What do you do? A, mind your own business. B, talk to her. C, talk to mom. Talk to mom. I saw my sister going into a hotel with a strange man. I thought I would call you because that would solve the problem. That could only make it better, not worse. I don't foresee any way that that could cause a greater problem. That only seems like an improvement of this situation. Mind your business or talk to her. I would probably talk to her eventually because I just know myself well enough to say, like, it's going to eat away at me forever. And maybe there's an explanation. Maybe not. I mean, I could live with it if my sister was having an affair. I could live with that better than not knowing. And so I would want to ask, because if there was an explanation, then I wouldn't have to just be like, what the fuck? And if there was an explanation, everything's great. And if it was just like, oh yeah, I was having an affair, I'd be like, okay, well, I don't have to wonder. I can just reconcile the fact that you are a whore, my sister. And I'm telling mom. Suppose you were a woman. The man you're dating turns you on, but he hasn't even tried to kiss you. What do you do? A, hint, B, wait, or C, jump him. As a woman, I'm not like, I think that I'm in the waiting category myself as a man. You know what I mean? So does that mean I would do something different because now I'm the woman? I guess, like, as if I feel like, maybe we're getting into more controversial territory now. I feel like as a woman, you have a better option to just sort of jump him, right? Because if I just jump all over this woman, it could be great. Because if that's what she's waiting for, it would be like, all right, we're on the same page now. But if she's not waiting for that, that comes off pretty a little rapey. I had this interesting thing happen today. So I'm driving back to work from lunch, late lunch. It was like 4:30 in the afternoon. It's getting dark. It is fucking cold out. I mean, it's like 10 degrees. And the stoplight goes, there's this stoplight on a pretty busy street that's basically just so kids walking home from this school can run across the street. There's this like tiny, tiny little girl waiting to cross the street. I mean, she's one of these kids. She has a pink coat and a pink hat and pink gloves and pink pants and a pink backpack. And her backpack is like the size of her entire torso. You know, where it's like she could lean back her head on it, and also it covers like probably the top part of the backs of her legs even. I mean, it's just her whole body is backpack. So the light changes and you can tell she's not really sure about crossing, and then eventually works up the nerve and just sprints across the road, you know, and the traffic is all stopped and everything. And it seemed like she didn't really know how to cross the road. Like maybe she doesn't normally do this. And then she gets to the other side, and she was kind of like walking one way, and then kind of turned around and walked the other way, and then seemed like unsure which way she was going. And so then she's just kind of like milling around over there, and I started to get a little nervous as I'm sitting at this light watching this happen, because I'm like, fuck, is this kid, I mean, it's 10 degrees outside. Is she walking home? Does she know where she's going? What's going on? Why is this happening? So I like drove and took the first right, you know, into this parking lot, and I could kind of see what was going on. Because in my head, I'm having this battle wage, right? I'm picturing like, is this kid going to like freeze to death outside? Where is she going? It's not like super close to a lot of houses or anything. And it's weird. It's like 4:30. So it's, you know, why is she just now leaving school? Where are her parents? So I'm watching her and she's like kind of milling around, and then she's sort of walking, but there's this construction thing. So she's screwing around with the fence, and then she's like dusting the snow off of some box that's sitting around. And then she's just sort of walking along the edge of the building, you know, again, not towards a house, and she's not on the sidewalk. She's in the snow, and she has her, it was just, if this was a different world, I feel like I could have just got out of my car with my phone and been like, hey, do you need to call someone? Is there someone who's supposed to be coming to pick you up or something? And even that, I was like, I'm going to feel like such a creep. And I've been listening to this. If you guys aren't listening to this show, Serial, S-E-R-I-A-L, you should. listen to like the first two or three episodes. You'll love it. It's very addicting. It's very good. And, you know, it's about this crime. And part of the perplexing thing is this guy is accused of this crime and he's convicted on very little evidence. But he can't really remember. He doesn't have a good alibi and he doesn't even really remember what he did that day. And, you know, his whole thing is like, well, they didn't ask me for like 6 weeks where I was and what I did that day. Like, I don't remember because I didn't kill anybody. So why would I remember a typical day where I didn't kill anybody? So now when these things happen, I'm like making note of the time. And I'm like, okay, here's the time. When I get back to work, I should make sure and walk in a place that has a security camera. You know, do all this shit because I'm like, oh, what if this kid goes missing? And of course, you know, I'm like, well, first of all, she'd be dead and that's horrible. But then secondarily, I'm like, I could end up like serial. Think I'm a killer. It was a real dilemma. I don't know. I feel like a woman might have an easier time doing it, but I don't know. Suppose you were a woman. Looking back over your life, who has had the most influence on how you turned out? A, your father, B, your mother, or C, your friends? So this is if I'm a woman. My mom, my dad, or my friends? Well, I mean, my dad left. So probably my mom. I mean, maybe my friends. Probably my mom. Let's be honest. Set a pretty good example, I think. You know, taught me all the sex tricks that she wouldn't teach me as a boy, but she taught me as a girl. I assume that's what girls and their moms talk about constantly. Suppose you were a woman. You find a girly magazine under your son's bed. What do you do? A, leave it. B, talk to him about it. C, tell dad to deal with it. That's a tough question. I mean, first of all, I'd be concerned because I'd be like, he is in like old-timey porn. In fact, if I found a girly magazine under his bed, I would think, is he like collecting vintage pornography or something? Is he into that? Is he some kind of porn hipster now? Is that what kids are doing? I would be disturbed by a porn magazine under my kid's bed because I'd be like, where the fuck did he get a magazine? How does that even happen? What is going on? Because this would have to be at least like, I don't know, 15 years from now. Because I'd have to have the kid and he'd have to grow up enough to be old. I would be freaked out just because of that. Because I'd be like, this is like a 50-year-old magazine. Maybe this is worth money on eBay or something. That's a tough one. Like, as mom, do you talk to your son about that? I probably would. Well, I don't know. I think I'd just leave it. This is probably being too specific about pornography, but if it was a fairly normal magazine, by which I mean just kind of naked people or perhaps naked people having some kind of sex, gay or straight or whatever. I mean, if it was some kind of advanced pornography, I don't know, someone getting whipped or some shit or like a guy sawing his penis off with a table saw, then I'd be like, all right, we're going to have a chat. But I don't know, if the kid was of a normal age and it wasn't super crazy looking, I think I'd just let it go. Because what are you going to do? Get a 15-year-old kid, be like, don't jack off. Just jack off to memories. You know, just when you see down someone's shirt, because she's in your calculus class and goes to the front of the class and then bends over the teacher's desk and you can see completely down her shirt, sear that into your memory and just beat off to the memory. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's right and wrong, but I don't feel like that's right either. And I don't think I'm going to stop a kid from jacking off. Suppose you were a woman. You've just turned 30. You feel that A, the best is yet to come. B, the best years are gone. C, it's just another birthday. Shit. As a woman, age 30. I think I'd be cool with it. You know, I don't know. It's got to be rough if you look back at your life and say, well, my best years are gone. Like, why, if you at 30 are like, my best years are over, you are fucked. Because you probably have a long haul. I mean, even if you don't live super long, you got another 40 years. And believe me, if you're feeling at 30 like your best years are gone, how are you going to feel when you're 58? And then your body's like, hurts. I mean, maybe your body, maybe you're 30 and your body's not what it once was. But goddamn, you know, who cares? That's not the best thing, the body. These bodies just kind of go away after a while. They're not going to last forever. They don't even last as like, you know, your perfect body. Probably for most people, your ideal body happens when you're like 20, right? And then it's just sort of downhill from there. I don't know. If that's what you're banking on is like the perfect body, Jesus Christ, that's going to be a long-ass life. Suppose you're a woman. You would most like to change the size of your bust line, your nose, or your waistline. Ooh, that's a tough one. Bust line, nose, or waistline. Well, I guess it would depend. It would depend on what my bust line, my nose, and my waistline looked like, right? I think bust line, probably not, unless I had really crazy huge boobs. That I probably would not enjoy. You know, as much as it, well, I just don't think I would enjoy having those strapped to me all day. That seems annoying. And like it would actually impede my ability to do things. And also, like my waistline, I feel like if that's what I most like to change, I could to some extent, right? Nose is tough. But, I don't know. You could deal with that. Bust line or nose, depending on which was crazier looking, I guess. But I don't know. Unless it was huge, I would go nose. Unless my bust line was huge, ridiculous, and difficult, I would go nose. Just because that's right on your face and everyone sees it every day. Suppose you were a woman. How many pairs of shoes are enough? One for every outfit you own. There is no such thing as enough shoes. Who cares? Well, okay, as a man, I have probably more shoes than the typical man. But, you know, I kind of stick to the sneakers whenever possible. I mean, there is such a thing as enough shoes. I will say that. I don't know, I'm not a real clothes horse. And I think if I was a lady, I don't know. This one's really hard to imagine, I guess. I do feel, here's an interesting thing, though. It's like a good with the bad thing, because like ladies definitely have a lot more pressure, I think, to dress nice, just in terms of when you see the average woman who's dressed nice versus shabby, it's more noticeable than a guy who's dressed medium nice versus shabby. Like the contrast, the nicest dressed lady versus the shabbiest dressed lady, that's a gigantic range. And I feel like for men, it's like, we're all one haircut away from, you know, being George Clooney, right? But... So there's a huge range. And as a guy, when I look around, like when I'm looking for pants for work, I don't really have a lot of options. You basically have like jeans type pants, suits, suit type pants, dress pants. And then like you have, you know, shitty khakis and other pants that are a different color, but are of that Dockers khakis style. That's it. So as a lady, it might be nice to have some more options. I mean, shoes. What kind of shoes am I going to wear? Oh, I have brown ones. Now I've got black ones. I'm a man. Ladies, some more options. You could wear cute shoes. Might distract people from my giant nose. Cute shoes. Suppose you were a woman. In a bar, a stranger pinches your bottom. What do you do? Ignore him, destroy him verbally, or slap him. In that case, I think I'd go for the verbal destruction. I mean, I'm not going to slap somebody. I just, you know, I'm too peaceful-minded, I think. And I'm not going to ignore that, obvious. That's just not going to work for me. destroy him verbally. I think that to me is, well, that's what I'd like to think I would do. I mean, you know, we all have these ideas of what we do, and then in the actual situation, who knows? But, you know, I'd like to think I would destroy him verbally. I don't know. What would you say if someone pinched your ass? Be like, I would return the favor and pinch your dick, but it's just too small. And that doesn't get me off at all. I don't know. For me, destroying someone verbally, this is like a whole philosophy of destroying someone verbally that I have. It works a lot better if you can look at the person, size them up, and guess, like, what eats away at this person? What kills this? You know, if I turned around and saw a guy who was like 15 pounds overweight, I'd call him a fatso. You know, I'd say maybe you wouldn't have to pinch girls' asses if you lost the weight, buddy. You wouldn't have to assault strangers. Not because I think people have to be thin and whatever, but because I think that if you look at someone and he's like 15 pounds overweight, that's the way to hurt his feelings. You know, if he's a real redneck-looking guy, you know, we can question his sexuality or something. I'm just saying, normally I wouldn't do this because it's insulting, but if I needed to cut someone down in 2 seconds, I might just say whatever I thought would be the most hurtful to that person, which I don't know. I feel is justified in that situation. Suppose you were a woman. If you didn't have a date for Saturday night, would you A, go to a movie alone, B, go out with the girls, or C, stay home? I mean, I think I'd stay home. I don't know. I like staying home. Suppose you were a woman. You're having a drink with some friends, and a man you've just met makes a nasty remark about women. You would be inclined to A, laugh it off, B, say nothing and fume, or C, make a snide crack about men. Wait, you're having a drink with some friends, and a man you've just met makes a nasty remark about women. What would I be inclined to do? I'm assuming, I guess. Like, this guy just came up to the table where we're sitting and is like, hey, broads be shopping for shoes, huh? Something like that. I think I would just be like, okay, you could just leave. That's enough. I mean, why is that not enough? Laugh it off, say nothing and fume, or make a snide crack about men. I guess it, you know, and I just don't understand. He makes a nasty remark. You nasty. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'd make a snide crack about men. I'd probably, again, call him a fatso if he was 15 pounds. You know, same as the last question. Hurt his feelings. Sex discrimination keeps you out of a club. What would you do? Take them to court, say the hell with them, or write a letter to the editor? What? Is this like a club? What club? Like the Elks Club or something? Cyndi Lauper fan club? Tiffany, 80s pop singer Tiffany fan club, who seems to be, well, that one person was transgender, although I'm not sure if it was man to woman or woman to man. I can't remember which way that was happening. Anyway, they don't seem to discriminate a whole lot, the Tiffany fan club. They're like, oh yeah, we take stalkers, we take transgender people who are seem to have weird abilities about their fast running or weird ideas about how fast they run. We don't care about that. So, sex discrimination keeps you out of a club. What the fuck club? I don't even know what a club is. I thought this was like a dance club. Like, they're like, sorry, no ladies allowed. I'm like, what the fuck kind of club is? No, we don't want any women. I guess a gay men's club, in which case, that's justified. I don't know. There needs to be a dance club, I think, that's... So I have friends, and what they like to do, you know, they like to go to a gay men's dance club because they're like, you can go there and dance with somebody. You can dance with men, but they don't just like try and get all over you, which I appreciate. But also it seems like, come on, I feel like gay men should have a place where they can dance all over each other and not have meddlers in the way. It's kind of like how I feel about if there was a bar that I liked, but it became like a total hot spot for singles action, I'd probably stop going. Just out of respect for the people who were going and like, hey, I'm looking for a date. So anyway, there needs to be a dance club that's like, this is a dance club for dancing. You know, don't go here to meet somebody. Don't go here because you want the sexes. Just come here to dance, whatever you are. Suppose you're a woman. A mechanic is charging you for needless repairs. What do? Get a lawyer, get another mechanic, or get a repair manual? I mean, I think I would just get another mechanic, right? That's a pretty easy answer. Get a lawyer? That's crazy. Or get a repair manual. If I knew how to fix the fucking car, I would have got the repair manual in the first place. Dummy. Dumb game. The driver ahead of you suddenly cuts you off. You curse under your breath, shrug it off, or cut him off the first chance you get while giving him an obscene gesture. And as a woman, I don't know, I think I curse over my breath in my car. I say, you motherfucker. I do get angry at the driving. I think cutting driving out of my life would be a positive change that I could make based on my anger. And I don't know that that would change because I had a vagina. Suppose you were a woman. When you were 16, you were most attracted to the captain of the football team, the class clown, the rebel without a cause. That's a funny question. The other night, we were walking outside and I had my standard winter attire, which is like a hooded sweatshirt under a jacket. And my girlfriend did not bring a coat and it was very cold. So I was like, well, which one of these jackets do you want to wear? Because I got two. This is the downside / upside of wearing two jackets. You know, when other people forget a jacket, it's pretty hard to be like, well, fuck you. You know, I guess the good side is, though, you still have a jacket and they get a jacket. And you're kind of cold because you're like, well, I sort of planned on wearing two jackets. This is kind of a whole thing I've put together. But on the other hand, it's better. Everyone's a little happier. So she puts on my sweatshirt, I had that hooded sweatshirt, and it was like too long in the arms and it kind of went down below, you know, where, like below her crotch, I guess you'd call it, I don't know, like a few inches below. Almost like it was a sweatshirt dress of some kind. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this is like how the girls I was attracted to in junior high dressed. Like a huge hooded sweatshirt that was way too big and went down super low. And, you know, had way too long of arms. It was like a boy's hooded sweatshirt. It didn't even occur to me until that moment. And I was like, wow, that is a blast from the past, huh? That was what I was into. Very weird, I guess. Maybe this is what it is to get old a little bit, because I'm just like, God, these kids in their short shorts and all this shit. Because I'm like, in my day, we could be attracted to a woman and she was wearing a huge baggy hooded sweatshirt. You didn't even have to know it was under there. You just knew she was a rebel without a cause. Suppose you were a woman. Which did you do first when you were young? Neck with a boy, wear makeup, or smoke a cigarette? Oh, I would have probably wore makeup. That's accessible. I mean, that's just in your mom's cabinet, right? So even if I wasn't supposed to, I would certainly have put it on out of curiosity. I used to look through my mom's jewelry when I was a kid, you know, and I didn't really have any desire to wear it, but I liked looking at it because it was, you know, decorative, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know why I liked looking at it, but I did. It was interesting. You're like, hey, this is a thing. I don't know. I'm a fucking kid. What do I know? But yeah, neck with a boy, I mean, if I was the female equivalent of me, that would have happened when I was like 25. Smoke a cigarette, I would have done badly once when I was 19, probably. Suppose you were a woman. When you were growing up, the most useful information about sex came from your mom, your girlfriends, or books. I mean, books, no. Mom, no. Probably friends. I guess friends. I don't know. As bad as my education was, I learned some shit in health class. But also, I don't know. I don't know where people get these misconceptions about sex. Like, where do they hear? You know, I had this friend who was like, oh, yeah, if a girl gives you a blowjob and swallows, she can get pregnant. And even as a young man, I was like, how does that work? The stomach never connects up with, like, the uterus and shit. Where, how is the sperm getting to the egg? You know what I mean? That would be like if I, okay, as a woman, I drank Kool-Aid, and then the next time I took my pants off, like, my vagina was just leaking Kool-Aid. That's not possible. Oh my God, ma'am, your uterus is full of Kool-Aid. I'm so sorry. Did you eat a hot dog today? Because it seems that your ovaries are blocked by hot dog. Dum-dums. What a bunch of dum-dums. Suppose you're a woman. A policeman pulls you over for speeding. Do you take the ticket, argue with him, or undo some buttons and smile? Oh, I would take the ticket. Are you kidding? I'm going to show him my boobs just to get out of a ticket, or maybe not even get out of a ticket. That's the thing. There's no guarantee. If he said, hey, undo that button and you'll get out of a ticket, I probably still wouldn't do it just because I just really don't like cops. That's all that's about. Be like, no, I'm not giving you the satisfaction. But it's not even about me being harassed. I just really hate cops. Suppose you're a woman. Strangely enough, you're playing strip poker and you're down to these three items. What do you take off next? Your bra, your panties, or your wig? My wig? Why am I wearing a wig? Okay, is this like the cancer ward? Oh, I'm taking off my wig. Yeah. Do you take off your bra, your underwear, or your fake leg that you've got strapped to you? I mean, yeah, I guess I'd go wig. You know, honestly, if you're playing strip poker and you're down to your bra and underwear and you don't want people to see you naked, take off that wig. I think that puts the brakes on the game. I think people are going to be like, whoa, what the fuck just happened? What just happened? Well, with that, I think we've done it for today, my friends. I think that we made some pretty good points about bald people, fat men. I think we really did it. Tune in next time, because then I will be going through the other cards, which I guess will tell me how I do as a man. So I hope you're all playing along at home and thinking about how wrong I am. I'll see you next time.